You know that little girl? I did it. Now Pastor Sam has to do it. He has to do it. Well, I mean, that just gives you a little flavor of what's going on in the other building. I mean, they're really wanting to minister in that way. So where's that? Just give us a second here to switch computers and... All right, well, this morning, if it's a hum, it's too much, you can turn it out a little bit. I can speak up. I'm used to it. This morning, we're starting a new series for about 20 sermons. I was going to call it first the names of the Christian, and then, of course, I had all these sermons listed out of different names that were given as Christians, and I realized I didn't have the first word, which is the most important word, which is Christian. So I decided to rename the series called The Names of a Believer. If you've come to know Jesus Christ, you're a believer. He that believeth upon the Son has life. He that believeth not upon the Son shall not have life. Let me tell you how this series came about. I've preached a series of messages, actually when I first came here, called the I Am's. 10 times in the Old Testament, or excuse me, in the book of John, Jesus speaks about how he is the I Am. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection, the life. And from that came a series last year that I gave for about 4 months called The Names of Christian, of the Christ, the names of Jesus. And we looked at how he's called the Son of Man, and how he's called the Son of God, and how he's called Emmanuel, and how he's called Jesus, and how he's called the Christ, and how he's called an advocate, and how he's called the Alpha and the Omega. And then I began to realize that there are names that are given to us. For instance, I am. Remember, Jesus is? He says, I am. I am a new creation. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Well, that's a name that's given to me. I am a new creation. I'm not the Alpha and the Omega. I'm not the resurrection and the life. I'm not the bread of life. That's who he is. But in him, I am a new creation. Another one is that I am a child of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we shall be called the children of God, 1 John chapter 3. And such we are. So we are called the children of God. I am, Sam Rotman, I am a child of God because of Jesus Christ. I am forgiven. We talked about it this morning. This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, for the forgiveness of your sins. I am forgiven. That's what I am. That's who I am. And I am also an heir with Christ. I am an heir of God, a co-heir with Christ in 1 Corinthians. So these are the names that we have. And we're going to look at a number of these names of who we are because we are a believer in Jesus Christ. Now let me go back to the names of Christ. Whenever we talked at the names of Christ, we divided and we realized that the names that are given to Christ is usually because of who he was and what he did. For instance, he is called the Christ, the Messiah, because of who he is. That means he is the anointed one. Before Jesus did everything or anything, he is the Christ. He is the anointed one of God. He is Mashiach in Hebrew. They were waiting for this one who's going to come and tell us all things, to announce, behold, I'm telling you the truth about he that is given to me. The Father has given me these words and I give them to you. So because of who he is the Christ. But his name is Jesus because of what he's going to do. You shall call his name Jesus, Savior, Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus is related to an act he's going to do, the work on the cross of salvation. Now, the uniqueness of who we are is the uniqueness of who we are because of Christ. You are unique, my friend. We are unique. We are unique. Now, we are not unique because anything within us, but we are unique because of what we are and what we've received and what we have because of Jesus Christ. Who we are unique of our person, what we have, We are unique in what we have all because of Jesus Christ. Now, there's nothing unique about what we do to merit us. Remember, Jesus has these names because of what he did. But remember the great passage. I love this passage in Galatians chapter 3. Your life is hidden in Christ. Your life, in him we live and move and have our being. So my life, which is the life of the Christ life, is given to me, which gives me uniqueness and gives me something that I have that's very special and very unique. So therefore, what did Paul say? By the grace of God, I am what I am. Now just think of that. I am what I am. Remember the I am's? I am the rest. Here is Paul is referring to himself as an I am, but not on the same level, obviously. I'm not trying to make him deified. That's not the point. But he's using these words, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain, but I labor even more than all of them. These are the other apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. So this is who I am. I present to you, this is who I am. Because of God's grace, because of what he's done for me. In fact, he changed my name from Saul to Paul, which is very commonly done because of the difference now of who you are and what you are in your mission in life. Names were very important in the Old Testament. You know, Abram is called Exalted Father. When he became and received his righteousness, he believed God, and unto him was he acquired and was imputed to him righteousness. And the promise was given to him, from you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Your name shall not be Abram, Exalted Father. Your name will be Abraham, Avraham, Avraham in Hebrew. That means the father of a multitude. And he is the father of a multitude. Because in Christ, all the nations of the earth has been blessed. Through his seed, through the Jews, through the lineage, the salvation has come to the world. Moses, you know why Moses was given his name? His name was given that because he was drawn out of the Nile River. He was drawn out of water, and he was given that name of Moses. You know the word Pharisee. You know what the word Pharisee actually means? Separatists. They were given the name of what they believed was their calling of life, was that we are here to separate ourselves from the world, from the Gentiles, and so that was their life. That's why when they were called the Pharisees, this was an indication of who they were and their identity of who they were in this person, of what they were going to do with their lives. Now, there's some amazing verses in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 56, it says, to them I will give to my house, and with my wall a memorial, and a name better than that of sons and daughters. He's talking here about Jews. He says, I'm going to give them a name that's better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off. What is the name? In Isaiah chapter 62, it says, for Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. This is God speaking. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness and her salvation like a torch that is burning. Now, who is this really talking about? Well, the latter part of Isaiah is almost infused with the life and the prophecy about Jesus Christ. His righteousness will burn forth brightly, salvation like a torch. That didn't come from the Jews, but it came from a Jew. It came from the Christ. Read on. The nations will see your righteousness, and the kings your glory. And you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will be called a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will be a crown of beauty in the hands of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. So here he's talking about the Jews. Says, you're going to have a new name. Go back. You will be called by a new name which the Lord will designate. You will be the crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. Well, some people believe that this prophecy is fulfilled in the name that was given to the person and the people who decided in time and space that their whole hope, their whole future, their whole life would be identified with the Christ. And so we have, as this morning, we're going to look at the word that is given to us as believers of Jesus Christ, is that we are called Christians. So there's three passages in the Bible where the word Christian is used. We're going to look at them and identify what's unique about why these names were given. First of all, in Acts chapter 11, it says, verse 19, "And then those who were scattered because of the persecution that occurred in connection with Stephen made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone." So notice this is the death of Stephen. There is persecution. Many people believe that the Jews were not fulfilling, and the apostles and the disciples were not filling Jesus' call to go into all the world. So he caused a persecution to kick them out of Jerusalem. Go out, get out of here. And so it says here, they were scattered about because of Stephen, and they went to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and they went to the city called Antioch, and they were speaking only to Jews. These were Jewish believers speaking to Jewish people about the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. Along with that, verse 20, we're going verse by verse in Acts 11. "But there were some of these men, some of them men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks, the non-Jews, the Gentiles, and they were preaching the Lord Jesus." So here is this two arrows that are converging onto Antioch. There are the people coming as they're speaking along the way to Jews, and they're focusing on Jews. There's people coming along the way and speaking to Gentiles. They're focusing on Gentiles. And the hand of the Lord was with them, assuming it was with both of these groups. And a large number who believed turned to the Lord. Now we're reading on. We're just going verse by verse, Acts 11, 22. "And news about them reached the ears of the church of Jerusalem." Why was Jerusalem interested? Because, wow, Greeks are believing. The Greeks have believed. There are those who were scattered about and went out and spoke to the Greeks, and they believed. So they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Remember, both of them converge, two different arrows going in different areas, and they both converge on the same place called Antioch. "Then when he had arrived and witnessed the grace of God," what grace? The grace given to Jews who believed, the grace given to Gentiles and the Greeks who believed. "He rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith." This is Barnabas. "And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Paul." This is now verse by verse, okay? Verse 26. "And when he found him," Paul, "he brought him to Antioch." So here you get this convergence of Jewish believers, this conversion of Greek believers. They're now in this one place. He goes to look for Paul, and he brings Paul to Antioch. "And for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers. And the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch." Why? Because this was the first point of the convergence of Jewish believers and Gentile believers, and God gave them a new name. He gave them a new name right there on the spot, an inspired name that no one had ever been called before. Up to that point, it was Jewish people who believed. And then it was just a few Gentiles who believed. Cornelius calls Peter. Peter says, "I've never been to a Gentile." And then he's amazed. They believed in the Christ, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. Wow, this was isolated incidences. Isolated incidents here, isolated incidents here. Finally, there's a church of Gentile believers and Jewish believers. And now they're given Isaiah chapter 62. They're given this new name. And they were there for the first time called Christians. Amen? This is amazing. Amazing. They'd never been called anything before. For the first time, they're designated this, inspired by the Holy Spirit. They're called Christians. Now, what is a Christian? A Christian means you are Christ's one. It literally means Christ's one. You belong to Jesus Christ. You belong to the person, the Christ. Jesus Christ. I belong to him. I identify with him. My identity is wrapped up in him, not in me, in him. And therefore, this Jewish and Gentiles believers were brought together, and they put away names, and they began, and they had a new name. We belong to the Christ. We identify with the person of the Christ, Jesus Christ, and therefore we are called Christians. You know, Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9:20, "To the Jew I became a Jew." that I might win Jews. And to those who are under the law, that's the other branches of those of Jews as under the law, though not being under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And to those who are without the law, that's Gentiles, they didn't have the law, the Ten Commandments, the Word of God, as without law, not being without the law, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak, I became weak. Notice these labels. You're with the law, you're without the law, you're a Jew, you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, you're a Gentile, you're a weak. To a weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I became all things to all men, so that by some means, by means, I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel. Paul's saying, you're weak, I want you to be a Christian. You're under the law, I want you to be a Christian. You're a Jew, I want you to be a Christian. You're a Gentile, I want you to be a Christian. You're from Africa, I want you to know Christ. You're a Muslim, you're a Catholic, you're a Lutheran, you're a Methodist. My friend, I want you to know Christ. That's what you need. That's what you need. And so Paul is saying here to every person I met, who are you? Who are you? What's your? He had labels for them, but the end result was that they might, for the sake of the gospel, that they may become fellow partakers of it. Fellow partakers of it. Second time the word is used. The second time the word is used, here's here in Acts chapter 26. And Paul is giving his testimony. He's giving his testimony before Festus and Agrippa. Agrippa is the king of the region. Agrippa is the governor of the region. Okay? So Paul is standing before these two men, King Agrippa, Governor Festus, and he's giving his testimony. We're picking it up in the middle now. There's lots of things that's come before. So having obtained help from God, I stand this day testifying before both the small and great, stating nothing but, this is Paul speaking, to Agrippa and Festus, stating nothing but that the prophets and Moses said was going to take place, that the Christ was to suffer, and that by means of his resurrection from the dead, he would be first to proclaim light both to the Gentiles and to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. When Paul was speaking this in his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you're out of your mind. Isn't that great? He's talking about the resurrection of the dead and about the Christ coming. And Festus, he just interrupts. Paul, you're a loony. You're out of your mind, Paul. Paul said, you know, I'd rather be a fool for Christ. A fool for Christ. Your great learning is driving you insane. It's driving you mad. Let's read on. But Paul said, I'm not out of my mind. Festus, Governor Festus, I'm not out of my mind. Most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. For the king knows about these matters. And I speak to him also with confidence, since I'm persuaded that none of these things escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. Festus, you know what I'm speaking about. These people who believe in this Christ, this has not been done in secret. This has not been done hidden. You know about these. So now we're reading years later, right? Years later, from Acts chapter 11 to Acts chapter 26, years later. And now he's saying to the leaders, you know about what I'm speaking about. This has not been done in secret. Let's read on. King Agrippa, he turns to the other guy there. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do. Agrippa replied to Paul, in a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian. This had pervaded so much that the king and the governor knew their new name. It had gotten to the circles of hierarchy that ultimately, who are these people? They're not Jews. But some of them, are they Jews? They say they're Christians. What's a Christian? They belong to this one, the Christ. And aren't there Gentiles? Who are they? Aren't they Roman citizens? Who are these people? They call themselves Christians. So here we find years later, Paul is talking to them, and the leader says, Paul doesn't say it, Lotus, Agrippa said to Paul, in a short time, you will persuade me to become one of Christ. And look what Paul says. Great thing. Paul answered, oh, I would wish to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, but all who would hear me this day. Man, now he's talking to the soldiers there. He's talking to the accusers there. All that hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. I pray to God you would be like me. Because you know what Paul said? I'm a Christian. I belong to Christ. My life is bound up with the Christ. And I pray to God that for your soul's sake, for your eternal sake, that one day, Agrippa, one you, governor, one you, my accusers, one day, all of you Roman soldiers, you will be able to take that wonderful name that is the name given to us that identify with the Christ. We are Christ's one. We belong to Jesus Christ. And our life and our eternity is bound up with him. I stand to you for this day. Be like me, a Christian, for I am a Christian. Third passage, 1 Peter. Peter is writing, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside in Asia, or aliens, excuse me, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia. I've been to Cappadocia, my wife as well, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ, be sprinkled with his blood, may grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. You know who he's writing to? He's writing to everybody. This is what's called a general epistle. This is not an epistle specific to one group. It's to those who are scattered abroad, those who are who have identified with Jesus Christ, believers on him, in this place in Cappadocia, people living in the caves, wherever they may be, as some were living at that time in Cappadocia. He writes this general letter. Let's read on. 1 Peter 4:14. If you are reviled, now he's instructing them, he's writing them. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer or thief or evildoer or trouble meddler. Now, you know, he says this, if you're reviled for the Christ, remember what Jesus said? You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. You know, blessed are the meek. Remember what the last one is of the Beatitudes? Blessed are men when men revile you and speak evil about you because of me. Rejoice in that day and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Remember that? Blessed are you when men revile you and speak evil of you because of me, because of you identify with me. So he says, listen, if you suffer because you've done something wrong, look, make sure none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or evildoer or trouble meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, here is this general letter, and they were all known as Christians, whether they were in Antioch, when they were in Bithynia, when they were in Asia, whether they were in Jerusalem, they had a new name. They were the Christians, bound to Jesus Christ, identified with Jesus Christ. He is not to be ashamed, but to glory in God in this name. Glory God, glorify God in this name. Thank God you're suffering for the Christ, because you're a Christian, because you identify with the Christ and have bound your life to him. These are the only three times the word is used in the whole New Testament. First, as they were labeled that with the beginning of the Gentile and Jewish church for the first time brought together in Antioch. Second time, it had gone all through the kingdom that the hierarchy identified the name and they spoke the name. And finally, last time, one of the last letters, he's writing to all the Christians in all these different regions. These are huge regions. And he says to them, if you suffer as a Christian, and you will glorify God for that name. The identity of these people was that they were united and belonged to the Christ. These people had made a commitment, a covenant, that their life and their eternity, the present life and their eternity, was identified with this person that walked on this earth, the Christ. The forgiveness of their sins, the resurrection of the dead, their lifeless body, their death, the hope that there was going to be built on nothing less but the Christ. Like the hymn says, my hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. In Christ the solid rock I stand, all other grounds is sinking sand. All other grounds is sinking sand, right? That's what was the identity of glorifying God in this name. Therefore, they didn't call themselves Jewish believers. They didn't call themselves Gentile believers. They didn't call themselves Jewish Christians. They didn't call themselves Hebrew Christians. They didn't call themselves Gentile Christians. You find none of that. You find that they are given this one name, which is they are called Christians identifying with Jesus Christ. Now let me talk about that for a minute. You know, when people ask me who I am, I'm on a plane, you know, sometimes they say, I give my testimony, oh, you're a Hebrew Christian. I never have called myself a Hebrew Christian. Now, there are people who call themselves Hebrew Christians. They're my brothers in Christ, God bless them. But I don't. I don't call myself a Messianic Jew. I don't call myself a Hebrew Christian. This is what I say to people. I am a Christian and I belong to Jesus Christ. That's what we should say. I'm a Christian and I belong to Jesus Christ. Sometimes when I've given my testimony, when I talked about people that witnessed to me, I said that they were evangelical Christians. But you know what that it means now? An evangelical Christian is a Republican who is right-wing, who is conservative, and loves George Bush come hell or high water, if I could say that word, right? Right? It's become a political, an evangelical. Oh, an evangelical. You see what I'm saying? Or you may say, I'm a born-again Christian. Well, you know, we've heard what people think about that, too. Oh, he's born again. Yeah, he said he was born again, and then look what's happened with his life. You see, the minute you message you're a Hebrew Christian, a Messianic Jew, a evangelical, you know what you're starting to point the picture at? You. You're starting to say there's something about your identity, and it's not my identity. It's my identity, which is Christ is my identity. That's why I'm a Christian, and that's it. Now you may say, well, but doesn't that help to make a demarcation? I mean, many people say they're Christians. Well, of course they're Christians. They're not Buddhists. They're not Muslims. Right? I believe that. Right? But if you say I'm a Christian, and then you say I belong to Jesus Christ, now you've brought up the whole subject. You've clarified it. And that's what I say. I'm a Christian, I belong to Jesus Christ. Now let's talk about Jesus Christ. You see what that does? If I say I'm an evangelical Christian, then are you, you're a Republican, aren't you? Well, I'd rather talk about Jesus Christ. Or you're born again. Oh yeah, born again. Isn't that, these people that say they're born again and then they, you know. You see, the minute you identify a label other than Christian, in my opinion, again, this is not to put down brothers and sisters that may identify certain names and labels and things like that, but to say you're a Christian, to identify as a Christian, is that I belong to Jesus Christ and I identify with the person of Jesus Christ. Why do we have this name? Because your life is bonded to the Christ. What he says, where he goes, I will follow. What he says, I will do. Where he is, I will be one day. Can I repeat that again? Your life is bonded to the Christ. What he says, I will do. Where he goes, I will follow. So let's look now at a few verses. Colossians 3, verse 10. And having put on the new self, who is being renewed in the true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him, a renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcision and uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free men, but Christ is all and in all. Isn't that amazing? He talks about, first of all, the most obvious, the Jews and the Greeks. And then he says, circumcised and uncircumcised. Well, that's another label of Jews and Greeks. The Jews were circumcised, the Greeks were not. Barbarian, you know who barbarians were? Barbarian was given to the people that when they went to, long ago when these people from a culture went to these islands and they didn't understand their language, they'd come back and say, well, who are these people? Well, they're ba-ba-ba-ba, that's all they would speak. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, whatever, I don't understand them. That's how the name barbarian was given. They didn't understand them and couldn't understand their language, so they thought they would just blab, blah, 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 blah. And though they were given the names barbarians. You know who a Scythian was? Oh, the Scythian was the most cultured people of the world. They were the intellectuals. If you were a Scythian, you'd gone to the best schools. There's no difference. Jews, Gentiles, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free men, but Christ. Don't take a label, take Christ. It's not who you are, it's Him. And your life is hidden in Him. And your life is identified to Him and bonded to Him. Galatians 3:26, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. But wait, what do you mean there are still Jews and Greeks? Ah, but not in Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor freeman. There's neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. One in Christ Jesus. There's no male nor female, bond nor free, Jew nor Gentile. But it's Christ, identified with the Christ, knowing the Christ, having the Christ. Romans 10, for there is no distinction between, these are different books. This is what Paul was writing to Galatians, this is writing to the Colossians, he's writing to the Romans. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches and all who call upon Him. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't matter if you're Jew, nor free, nor slave, nor Scythian, nor barbarian. You call upon the Lord, there's no distinction. My friend, you're either in Christ or not in Christ. That's the distinction. That's all that matters this morning. There's going to be a cut made on the day of eternity, on the last day. There's a day being cut right today this morning in this church. You're either in Christ or not in Christ. There's no halfway house. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. You're not, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Catholic. My friend, that God, what are those names? There's only one name. You either have my son, and he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son shall not see life. Let's read on. This is now, I want to talk about Jews and Gentiles, the two groups in the world, right? Before there was the Christian. Notice this. Romans 2, verse 17. For if you bear the name Jew, notice it's in quotes. Here's a name. Here's a label. We talk about names. And rely upon the law and boast in God, and know His will and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law. See, a Jew would have known about the things about the law and the covenant and how to know God personally and the sacrifice and the offering and forgiveness. And are confident that you are a guide to the blind and a light to those who are in darkness. And you're a corrector of the foolish and a teacher of the immature, and having the law, the embodiment of the knowledge and the truth. You, therefore, who teach others, do you not teach yourself? Isn't it interesting that Paul knows, you may know all this, but do you do all this? You who preach that one should not steal, do you steal? You who say that you should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law through your breaking the law, do you dishonor God? He says, let me tell you what my wife's told me for 32 years of marriage. She reads the Old Testament. She reads the Bible every year. And she always says the same thing to me, usually around December when she finishes the Bible. She closes the Bible and she says, well, I don't know what you're so proud about being Jewish. They ain't got a great record. You know, I'm Jewish. Oh. You know, the Jews don't have a great record. What did Jesus say? You persecuted the prophets, you killed them, you turned away from them. Look what they did to Jeremiah. Look what you did. Look what God had to do in punishing you. And yet it wasn't because of you, because of God's faithfulness. But you know, you being a Jew, look, this is a quote from the Old Testament. The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. You gave Jews such a bad name that Gentiles were cursing God because you were a hypocrite to what you said you did and you knew. So much for the Jews, right? So much for being Jewish. They ain't got a great record. Now let's look at the Gentiles. Ephesians 2:11. Therefore, remember that you formerly, the Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision. Imagine, Paul says, you know what the Gentiles, you know what the Jews used to call the Gentiles? Uncircumcised. Ooh, how vulgar. I mean, to think of a sex organ is already, you know, so inappropriate. You know, I'm not trying to say this to be funny or to be vulgar, but this, you know, oh, remember David says, you uncircumcised Goliath, Philistine? I mean, that hits you below the belt, right? You know what I'm saying? I mean, no. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This is how people call each other. He's uncircumcised. How do you know I'm uncircumcised? You're a Gentile. Look what he says. Look what Paul is being very honest here. But you Gentiles in the flesh, you who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcised, which is performed in flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time, you were separated from Christ, you Gentiles. You were excluded from the commonwealth of Israel. You were strangers of the covenant of promise. You had no hope and without God in the world. You know, you can't be so proud being a Gentile. Let no man boast. Let him who boasts, let him boast in the Lord. Gentiles are not very proud people. Look what Gentiles do to themselves. Look at the history of the non-Jewish world. The killings, the massacres, the inhumanity. I mean, you know, the world ain't got a great track record going here. And the Jews aren't great at it either. Look. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, you've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Read. Look what Paul says. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups, Jews with their bad record, Gentiles with their bad record. He broke down one and brought down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained ordinances, so that he myself might make the two into one new man. And you know what that name of that new man is? Christian. You identify with Jesus Christ. I belong to the Christ. My life is hidden in the Christ. And my future is put into the Christ, thus establishing peace, that he might reconcile both of into one body to God through the cross, having put to death the enmity. The enmity between Jew and Gentile. He broke it down that he might bring of one new body, one new person in that way. So we have this wonderful verse. May it never be that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom the world has been crucified and I to the world, for neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision anything, but a Christian, a new creation. Amen? Notice, circumcision is nothing. You Jews ain't got a great record. Uncircumcision is nothing. You ain't got a record to stand on yourself. But all that matters is a new creation, which is Christ. That's why you're called Christians. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And you know, this is a great thing that we read about in the scriptures. We're given a new name. In the eternity, we're going to have a new Jerusalem. There's a new covenant. Behold, in Jeremiah 32, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, not formerly that I made before. Then there's going to be the new heavens and the new earth. In Revelation 21, he who sits upon the throne, he says, behold, I'm making all things new. And you know, I've said this before. If you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ, it's a powerful movie. And I've seen it a few times, and I'll never forget the first time I saw it with the youth group when it opened up. The Leggetts were there, and Ken LaBelle was there. And I'll never forget, I mean, I was already having enough tears, and I was having lots of streams of tears watching this. But I'll never forget what happened to me when Jesus fell as he's carrying the cross. And here is this moment when his mother rushes to him to try to help him. And he turns to his mother and he says, Mother, I'm going to make everything new. I mean, that's mind-boggling. Mother, here he is in actual abject weakness. The sins of the world are laying upon him. He's bearing the cross, the thorns. The governments are against him. The Jews are against him. The world is against him. The devil is against him. And he has that knowledge to know, Mother, I'm going to make everything new. My friend, that's what happened to me on May 21st, 1971. That's what happened when you give your life to Jesus Christ. You become a Christian. I'm not a Jewish believer. I'm not a Hebrew Christian. I'm a Christian. I belong to Jesus Christ. I've cast my whole lot into the life and the basket of Jesus. I put all my eggs in one basket. A new name, a new heavens and a new earth, a new Jerusalem. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things have passed away. Your identity is bound up with this person, Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. It's very interesting, I think. You know, I've done, at times, I've done door-to-door outreach. I remember when my wife and I lived for a time in New Jersey, we were looking to do some church work and stuff. We went door-to-door. And you know, it's interesting. You knock on a door and he says, you know, I just want to tell you that I'm a Christian. I like to talk with you about Jesus Christ. And you know what people say? I'm a Catholic. No, I'm not. Okay, I got another one for you. Knock on your door. I'm a Lutheran. How's that? All right, any Lutheran? You know what I'm saying? Oh, how are you? Who are you? I'm a Presbyterian. You see? Or I'm Jewish. And then you may say, then you take the next level of cubby holes, is that where do you go to church? Which Baptist church do you go to? Oh, you know. Oh, that's a charismatic church. Oh, that's a Pentecostal church. Oh, that's a free church. Oh, that's where you're free but not cheap, right? At that church, right? You know. You see how you see what happens. I can tell you probably, if you go to a door and a person knocks on the door and they identify themselves as a Catholic, a Lutheran, a Jew, a Baptist, I can probably guarantee they're not a Christian. I can probably guarantee it. Because they have found an identity that is more important than Christ, or relying on something more important than Christ, and that is the church, Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church. This, my friend, the church didn't die on the cross. Jesus died on the cross. Your forgiveness is not to the church. Your forgiveness is in Christ. Your eternity is in Christ. You understand? So here how we take labels. To identify yourself that you a Lutheran, you're a Methodist, you're a Presbyterian, you're a Jew, you're this. You're not a Christ. Because if you were Christ, you would say, I'm a Christ. I belong to Jesus Christ. I've put on Jesus Christ. I've put on Jesus Christ. You know, one person says, we're not the only Christians, but we want to be Christians only. Isn't that an interesting thing? We're not the only Christians, but what I identify is that all I am is that I am a Christian. All I am is that I am a Christian. Now, I have a few minutes. I'm going to go a little longer. I know we had our kids singing, but hang in there with me. We'll be done here. You can have a lot of fellowship and have a birthday cake. How's that? There's a reward for you. But there's something very powerful about why we were given this name. I want to talk about it. I'll be done here in 10 minutes. Very powerful. Notice that when Paul talked about the identity of believers, I'm going to take two examples. I'm going to go through this very quickly. Galatians 3:27, he says, for all of you were baptized into Christ, you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. When you were baptized, you identified with the person of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was baptized, he identified with Sam Rotman. Literally, I'm here identifying with sinners. And Sam Rotman is one of them. So you were clothed or baptized into Christ. Notice, into the name of the person of the Christ. Acts 4:12, there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name except Christ, Jesus, under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one name that there is salvation. One name that there is this given to us, which is the name of Christ. Acts 10, of him all the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. So there's only one person that we're baptized in, the name of Christ. There's only one person that salvation is given to him. There's only one name that we have the forgiveness. Notice it's always his name, his name, his name, his name. Now this to me is what is powerful about why we're given this name. What's powerful about why we're given this name is because, you know, the name Christ means anointed. That's what it means. It doesn't mean powerful. It doesn't mean forgiveness. When he was given that name, Christ Jesus, now that's what Paul who came up with that truth. It is who he is and what he did that we adore and honor. It is Christ Jesus. He is the Christ, he is the anointed Messiah. Christ is the Greek, Messiah is the Hebrew. He's anointed. He's been anointed for what God is going to do through him to bring the salvation to the world. You know why we're a Christian? Because we are anointed in Christ. Do you hear what I just said? You are given the name Christian because in Christ you are anointed. Let me read to you a few passages. 1 Peter 2. You also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house for the holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Wow, what a thought from the Jew, Peter, to say now to you Gentiles, all of you, all of us who are Christians, we are offering up to God. We are anointed to offer up to God spiritual offering unto God acceptable. Let's read on, 1 John 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One. You have an anointing. You have been endowed with these abilities, these anointings that are of the Holy One, and you all know. Read on, 1 John 2:27. As you, the anointing which you've received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as he has taught you, you abide in him. Now, what does he mean about we have received this anointing? I'll tell you exactly. I'm telling you exactly that what Jesus was as the Christ, you follow in his footsteps as a Christian. I'll give you an example. I'll take one example. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. Notice that Jesus is being led by the Spirit. You know that we're led by the Spirit. However, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. But I do have the Spirit of Christ. That's why I'm a Christian. And as Jesus was led by the Spirit, I am led by the Spirit. I am anointed. I am a Christ one, a Christian. Read on. For all who have been led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:14, 8:16. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God. Be imitators of me, Paul said, as I am of Christ. So therefore, Christ said, I do all the things that please my Father. The Christian says, in my Lord Jesus Christ, as a Christian, I seek therefore to do all things that please my Father. Jesus said as the Christ, I and the Father are one. May I say this without being blasphemous? In Christ, I and the Father are one. Remember what Jesus says? All who comes unto me, they're in my hand, and all that are in my hand, I am in my Father's hand, and no one will pluck them out of my hand. The words that was given to Jesus said, the words I give to you have been given to me by my Father. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will come to you and bear witness to all the things I say to you, that you will go out into all the world, and therefore as my Lord Jesus Christ came and brought the word of truth to the world, I come to bring the word of truth to the world as well. I'm anointed for that mission. That's why I'm called a Christian. I am anointed because of Christ. I am not the Christ, but I am in Christ, and I belong to Christ. And I am Christ one, and therefore what he does, I have done. Remember Jesus said this? I do the things that my Father does, and I do. Remember he said that? By the grace of God I say, Lord, I do the things that I see my Savior does, and I do them as well. Your life is an example of being anointed. anointed to live for righteousness, anointed for doing things, to offer up spiritual sacrifice, to playing the piano for Jesus Christ, to doing what you do for Jesus Christ, to making a phone call for Jesus Christ, to having effect upon people for Jesus Christ, by dropping a word that's planted in the heart for Jesus Christ. You're anointed for that. You're anointed for that. You are the hands and the ears and the eyes and the feet of the person of Jesus Christ. Grace Church is the hands and the feet and the eye and the ears of the person of Jesus Christ to be anointed as we identify with Christ, that we're called Christians to be Christians in this world, in this world. But you did not, and then of course now when he's talking to the Ephesian church and he's scolding them, if I could say that, he says, you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you heard him and have been taught in him. You're anointed. You're a Christian. You did not learn Christ. This is not the example of what you've seen in the Christ. You're a Christian because you've seen the example, and imitate as I am an example. Therefore, imitate me as I imitate Christ. And so, my friend, we take the name very humbly and very seriously. Let me just close with this last thing and then we'll be done. 1 Peter 4:14. This is the third of the three passages where the word Christian is used. But I've taken the whole thing and I want to show you something very unique about what Peter is doing here. And we'll be done. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and the God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, as a trouble meddler. But in any way, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. You know that I've read a commentary on this, and I verified this, that the phrase in verse 14 and the phrase in verse 16 are interchangeable, and I'm going to read them. For instance, if you are reviled as a Christian, you are blessed. The Spirit of God, glory, and of God rest on you. Then read on. But if anyone suffers for the name of Christ, you see, I've taken the first line, the name of Christ, and interplayed it with the name Christian. This verse, the way Peter wrote it, it can be interchanged in either way. You could read it, if you are reviled as a Christian, you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed. If anyone suffers for the name of Christ, if anyone suffers as a Christian, my friend, that's how our identity is bound up. It is bound up forever with the person of Jesus Christ. And that's why we are called Christians. That's why God has anointed us in Christ. That's why we are a new creation in Christ. That's why God wants to forgive us in Christ. That's why God wants to give us every precious promise in Christ. That we would live as Christians and hold that name and humbly be it and serve Jesus Christ as Christians, identified with the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Let's pray. My friend, it's a privilege that you have, that you can say to somebody that I am a Christian and I belong to Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you very honestly this morning, if you are not bound to Jesus Christ, if you do not belong to Jesus Christ, I don't care how many times you've gone to the Lutheran church or the Free church or the Catholic church, my friend, you're not a Christian. A Christian is someone that's humbled himself, turned to Jesus Christ, asked for his forgiveness, received Jesus Christ, and has turned their life to be followers and imitators to serve and to live for Jesus Christ. Not perfectly, not always wholeheartedly, but you've taken that step. You've taken that step. And I'm going to just say a short prayer this morning. If you've never done that, I'm going to ask you. I know we have people you can pray with after the service, but I'm going to do that. I'm going to hold you for two more minutes because eternity is at stake here. And if you have not done that, right where you are sitting this morning, you may have faked your wife, you may have faked your husband, you may have said you're a Christian, but my friend, you know if you belong to Jesus Christ. And this morning, I'm going to give you the opportunity, if you've not done that, to pray in your heart, to turn your life to Jesus Christ, and now you belong to Christ. Lord Jesus, I come to you this morning, and I thank you that you invite me to come. I have done things that are shameful. I have sinned. You know all of my sins. You know everything I've done. You know me better than myself. And yet still, you invite me to come. And I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I ask that you would take over my life. I ask that you would change me on the inside. I want to be new. I need to be new. I have nothing else I can think of to do that would ever change me. But you, the Christ, change me. I thank you that you went to the cross for my sins, to die for my sins, my lying, my immorality, my anger, my abuse. And you forgive me, and you accept me. I take you this morning, Lord Jesus Christ, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and health. I want to be new in you. I want to be a Christian. I thank you that I'm your son and your daughter. I thank you for this morning of turning my life over to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. My friend, if you've prayed that prayer, I want you to tell me. You need to tell somebody. You can tell me. You don't have to tell anybody else. You can tell me. That's what it is to be a Christian. This is not phony baloney. This is not games. This is death and life. I set before you, as Moses said, life and death. Eternity, heaven and hell. If you need someone to pray with you, there are people to pray with you this morning. Take the name of Jesus with you. Take the name of Christian with you. Be proud of it, not of you, of him. Father, bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.